Our very high divorce rate seems to indicate that few of us have discovered the secret to a successful relationship. But according to a new study, the answer could be simpler than any of us have thought. We asked a few experts in the field to share their secrets.
And now, it's time for Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome to today's edition of Marriage Beyond the Vows here on Praise Your Inspiration Station. We're going to have an open forum today. And what does that mean? Well, it simply means that whatever question you have about your relationship, today's a good day to ask it. So no holds barred. But with that said, you know, you want to keep it tactful. Remember where we are. And if you need to, you can usher the young ones out of the room just in case the conversation gets deeper than you are ready for your children to experience. So we'll give you that time to do so. But here's the phone number to reach us, 855-454-5905. I'm your co-host, Tiffany Bacon, and here's your host with the most, Mr. Marcos Mercado. Good morning, Marcos.
Good morning, Tiffany, and good morning to all our friends who are listening here in Philadelphia, online, or anywhere you are. We thank you so much that you decided to join us this morning. As always, we want to begin with a word of prayer. God, thank you so much for this morning, and thank you so much for this opportunity to be able to encourage couples through the airwaves, God, and Father, couples who need encouragement, couples who are struggling, and even those who are doing well, Father, I do pray that you protect them. Father, thank you so much for this opportunity. I do pray that your Holy Spirit will be with us, and you give me a double portion of your Spirit, Father, to be able to advise and give encouragement to those who need it. Father, we love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As always, we hope and pray that today's program will enrich, empower, and encourage you towards having a great relationship. And our theme scripture of the day comes from Philippians chapter 4. You ever read a scripture and when you read it, you're like, why does it say that? You know, some days it's good. Some days you're like, God, are you serious? This is one of those scriptures for me. In Philippians 4, beginning in verse 4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. As Tiffany mentioned, this morning is an open forum, meaning you can call and ask whatever question you have, questions that perhaps you don't feel like you can safely approach at your church, or you don't know who to go to for answers. Maybe it's for you, or maybe it's for someone you're trying to help. We just want to hear from you. We want to get in on the conversation.
All right. And And the number is 855-454-5905.
And going back to this passage here in Philippians 4, you know, it's one of those scriptures that there are some days that I'm like, hey, man, of course I want to rejoice. But when you're going through a hard time, you don't feel like rejoicing. But the Bible says rejoice always. And then he says it again. And, you know, when Paul wrote this, he was in prison. Yeah. And so he absolutely knew what it was like to rejoice when you don't feel like rejoicing, but giving the glory to God. And so this is very appropriate for all of us who are going through something, right? Whatever you're going through, it can be something that affects your relationship. And usually when you're married and you're going through something financially, physically, emotionally, it does affect your marriage. It affects you. So the Bible says here that you need to just rejoice and thank God. But why? Because you present everything to him with thanksgiving. And, you know, that's the key, I believe, to all this is, you know, are you focusing on what you're thankful for? Because those are the times we're least thankful, or usually the times that we're the saddest or the most ungrateful. You know, they kind of go hand in hand because we're not really rejoicing because of everything that God has given us. You know, remember, many of us wanted to get married, right? It wasn't, no one forced us, no one twisted our arms. And then we're like, the very things that we prayed for, God gave us, and now it's a struggle. So I just want to say I'm very happy. I'm rejoicing. The Bible says rejoice in the wife of your youth. I still believe I'm young enough to rejoice with that. And so we want to hear from you. We want to have conversations about anything you want to talk about. Of course, we want to keep it tasteful. But anything, the marriage bed, sexless marriages, infidelity, struggles, how to take it to the next level, how to spice it up, all these things you can ask. And let's get in on the conversation. So Tiffany, we'll give you the number one more time.
Yep, it's 855-454-5905.
And one more thing here. I know many of you are single. for different reasons. Maybe you were previously married. Maybe you've never been married, but you've been in relationships. Maybe you're new to your, you know, your walk with God is new, and you just have questions about how to take it to the next level. What do you do? How do you know who's the right one? How do you know, you know, what God has planned for you? Because a lot of times the questions that we get, especially from singles, are, you know, the questions are simple, but so complex. You know, they're simple, like, okay, well, how do I know what God wants for my life? How do I know who God has for me? Which is simple, but it's complex, because when you're going through it, it's like, who do you choose? There's so many to choose from.
I want to know how you figure that simple, though.
Well, I think the question is simple.
Oh,
it's like,
okay,
all right, here we are. You know, it's simple. Like, I just have a question. It's a simple question. And then you're like, all right, the answer is not.
The answer is not, yes.
So I just mean it's a simple question to ask. But it is a difficult question to answer, because it's different for each and every person. Mm-hmm. And I think the Bible is amazing, especially the New Testament. I mean, the Old Testament is amazing, too. Yeah. But what I'm most amazed by the scriptures and Christianity in itself is that it's so open to, you know, it's not a bunch of rules and regulations. You know, there are religions, you got to pray, you know, a certain amount of times in a day. You know, even in the Jewish tradition, you there were very specific rituals and laws you had to follow. But in Christianity, really, it's not that you don't have any rules, but really it's about the heart. And so it's about having faith. It's about pleasing God. And so there's not a lot of do's and don'ts. Like, for example, the Bible doesn't even mention dating. That's something that, you know, it's really a modern, you know, a Western culture, you know, way of doing things, you know. And so nowadays dating has evolved to online dating, where people, before they even really get to sit down and meet face to face, they've already interacted online. They've gotten to see each other's profiles. I mean, this is a new thing, but nowhere in the Bible it says how to do it. But it talks about having purity. It talks about trusting God. It talks about having faith. It talks about not being yoked with unbelievers. So all those things still apply, but there's no specific way. So, for example, Tiffany, if you say, okay, where do I meet someone? Well, some people think, well, church, that's where you meet someone. But what if you're a part of a very small church and there are not enough people to go around? You know, what if, you know, you just because someone's at church doesn't mean they're the right one for you. It doesn't even mean that they're living the right life. They're walking walking what they talk. So I think it's very important to be able to say, okay, well, God, for my situation, you know, if there's a difference between dating in your 40s than dating in your 20s.
Very big difference.
You know, you feel like, all right, I don't have time to just be friends and get to know each other for a long time. You know, yes, we want to be friends, but we're having, you know, some serious conversations. And maybe not on the very first day, but you want to know, wait a minute, you know, are you looking for what I'm looking for? Are we compatible? So that's what I've said before when I said the
simple
question is simple. The answer
I didn't
is
hear
not.
The question part. That's why I was like, no. I just want a clarification. But hey, it's an open forum for you, so feel free to give us a call at 855-454-5905. So we're going to give caller one a second to get themselves together. But in terms of some of the things that you run into, Marcos, when you are counseling people, what would you say is the biggest, I wanted this, oh, I'm not so sure I want this anymore, struggle?
I think number one, it's emotional. You know, it's hard to separate the emotion. We're very emotional beings, meant to. And when we make up our minds that this is what we want, it's so hard to see clearly and to be objective. That's why we need people in our lives. So a lot of times, you know, especially women tend to have a list of who they want, what they want. And men tend to do it, too. But women, I noticed, write it out. Men kind of have that list somewhere in their head or somewhere in their hearts. But what I notice is that when you get emotionally involved, that list is you're not objective anymore.
Right.
And so there are certain things that you thought, OK, well, maybe I'll go this route. And now you're seeing that you're compromising. We're going to go ahead and take some calls. We're introducing this caller, I believe, is Wesley, and we're going to have to take a quick break. So we'll introduce Wesley, who wants to talk about the fact that he's been abusive to his wife and that she wants out, but he wants to reconcile. So we'll come back.
Yeah, we'll talk to Wesley and address that situation in a matter of minutes. So if you would like to be a part of the conversation, which is you asking whatever question you have about your relationship, give us a call, 855-454-5905. Stay with us. Marriage Beyond the Vows returns after this.
Beyond the Vows.
Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're praised. And welcome back. This is Marriage Beyond the Vows, and we are having an open forum today, which means you can ask whatever question you have about your relationship. We encourage you to call at 855-454-5905. Just before the break, we introduced Wesley and his situation, so we'd like to bring him into the fold. Wesley, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning, Tiff. Good morning, Marcos. Thank you for receiving my call.
Absolutely. Thank you for your patience while we had that quick break. So you had mentioned to our producer, Wesley, you mentioned that you've had a situation where you were abusive to your wife and she wants out of the marriage and you would like to reconcile.
Yes, Marcus, she feels as though the only reason I want to reconcile is my back's against the wall and I see the writing and, you know, she knows that that she wants out, and that's the only reason why I want to reconcile. But that's not it. I mean, I was a different person before Christ in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And the abuse was over 2 years ago, and it took me some introspective within myself to really recognize that I was causing her that type of harm.
Okay.
And I never punched or slapped, but I did grip her up. I did choke her and pushing and shoving. But, you know, the way my wife sees it and tells it, and I have to accept it, is that I was an abuser.
Mm-hmm.
But my question is, does that force me to break my covenant? I want to reconcile because I do recognize that I have made a covenant before God. Does that make me just say, okay, I give up and break the covenant?
Okay, that's a very good question, Wesley. And I think number one, we hear you. We hear you. It sounds like you've you know, you're really at that point where you have remorse, you have regret, you know, you're really trying to reconcile. That's obvious. It's just so I can clarify something. You know, you say you never like punched or slapped or anything, but you were very physical, and it's just as bad. And one thing I want to encourage you, Wesley, is don't explain the sin. Just own it. Own the sin. You were abusive. And it was wrong. Now, for 2 years, have you been separated or are you together?
We're together, but upstairs and downstairs, that kind of thing. And the marriage bed has been, not consistent.
When you say not consistent, but in 2 years, you have been together in the marriage bed?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So in you can say you're living separately under the same roof, but you're still somehow a couple, a struggling couple, but you're still together. And I think that, number one, there's hope there because she hasn't walked away totally. I think what it sounds like, Wesley, and we can't blame her, is she will probably want to be convinced that you are different, that you have repented. And you know, who can blame her when it sounds like if she wanted out, she would have been out a long time ago. But it's probably more the hesitation, the fear of, okay, Wesley, are you really different? Now, in 2 years, 2 years is a long time to be able to show, or enough time to be able to show someone that you're different. Why haven't you been able to convince her that you are a new man in these 2 years? Has it been during this time, have you also, you know, have you expressed anger? Have you been, you know, maybe not physically abusive, but you're throwing things? I mean, what's happening in the house?
No, Marcus. I've even going through anger management classes, and I guess our main situation was an inability to resolve conflict. Through the anger management, I would, in order for me not to continue an argument, I would walk away, which would cause her more frustration. She thinks that I'm not dealing with the situation, but I just don't want to argue.
Sure.
And become frustrated again and have those buttons pushed to then show that, see, I told you, you haven't changed.
Yeah.
And that's not the case. And so my difficulty is in being able to resolve conflict, like having the tools to resolve conflict peacefully.
Okay. Well, Wesley, a couple of things here. The first thing that comes to mind is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 16, where it says, "From now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us this ministry of reconciliation." Now, what does that mean? It's number one, you're reconciled with Christ first. So I think you need to stand firm on with your relationship with Christ. And something that I see very frequently is that when someone changes their lives, they know they're a new creation, they expect others to simply, you know, fall in line and kind of applaud their decision, but they're not humble enough and patient enough to allow for others who've been hurt because of their sin to heal. And it sounds like, and again, this is not something I believe you're doing intentionally, at least from what you're sharing. However, it sounds like there is a kind of expectation, a level of, okay, now that I'm different, you need to understand this and get there. And I think there's a process. And perhaps the first thing you need to do, if you haven't done this already, Wesley, is sit down with your wife, you know, and make sure it's in the right setting, not when you're, you know, upset or not when she's frustrated, but saying, listen, let's go out. Let's leave the house. Let's sit down. Let's grab some coffee, some tea, whatever. Let's talk face to face and let's pray and open up the scriptures and tell me, what do I need to do to show you that I'm different? I want this to work. You might feel like I'm against the wall, but I really do want this to work. And if you want this to work as well, then we have to work at this together. Have you done this?
I've attempted to get there, but Marcus, you hit the head on the nail exactly. I was having those expectations and everything. And sometimes she tells me I'm delusional in thinking that the marriage is going to survive, but I continue to pray and pray for her also, asking God to soften her heart.
Sure.
But I also wonder, Marcos, is this the consequences for my actions?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. There's a consequence. Sin always has consequences. I mean, we'll be lying. So you are a new creation, but the consequences are there. But that doesn't mean you can't be forgiven and reconciled.
Mm-hmm.
But however, sometimes you are the worst person to tell her that, because then it becomes like a selfish demand. Like, listen, I need this. I want this. Instead of like, what is it you need and what do you want?
Yes. Okay.
And so, sometimes, you know, if after you try to have that conversation, and like I said, it has to be in the right setting with the right approach. But after you try to do that, you still can't reconcile. That's when you sometimes need outside intervention, and you need someone else to be objective and sit with the both of you and basically say, listen, you're both adults. You know, you're both, you know, you have choices that you can make. Well, make those choices instead of just living together without truly making that choice. Because if she is saying, okay, she wants the marriage, then work on it. If she doesn't want the marriage, then why is she there? There's some choices that have to be made.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But Wesley, we anything we could do, please let us know. But I think number one, just start with that approach. It sounds like you're at a good place or you're heading in a great direction with your own faith. And so being able to take it to God first and have this approach and then seeing what happens next. If this doesn't work, then, hey, we'll take it to the next step, and you can call us back.
Okay. Back to my covenant, that I shouldn't break my covenant? Am I being delusional?
I don't think so, for the mere fact that she has not left you. And the fact that you've even said, okay, the marriage bed is not really active, but it also hasn't been inactive, meaning that she has been responsive at times. So I think, no, you're not delusional. It sounds like you do have, there's hope there. You're not, you know, just, this is not wishful thinking. This is, you know, a faithful approach. However, it's her decision. So if she decides to walk away, then that's on her. But as far as you're concerned, you're doing everything in your power to make sure you can reconcile.
Okay.
All right.
Yes.
Well, thank you, Wesley. We appreciate you calling us and sharing your life, and we hope and pray that we've been able to give you the input that you need.
Yes, you have. Thank you, and thank you for listening.
All right.
Absolutely,
take
Wesley.
Care.
God bless.
Okay. If you're just tuning in, it's Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise Your Inspiration Station. The number to reach us, 855-454-5905. Let's speak with Trina from the Philadelphia area. Trina, good morning. You're live on the air.
Yes, good morning. How are y'all?
Good.
We're doing great, Trina.
Good. I had talked to y'all, a while back. I'm the one that had a husband that was incarcerated, and he had a lot of drug issues and stuff like that, and you were telling me what scriptures I needed to pray for and let God do his will.
Sure.
And it actually has gotten much better. He has been released, and now he is in a Christian-based treatment center.
Okay, refresh my memory. I think, if I remember correctly, I mentioned, okay, you don't want to, as soon as he gets out, just have him come back to the house, but you want to work on things.
Yes, and so, he's not in the house.
Okay, he's not in the house. So he's at a center getting treatment. Is this drug treatment?
Yes, and it's at a church that he's getting help. He's been there about 2 weeks now.
Okay.
And I see the turnaround, because now we're praying as a family. And I'm trying to get everything situated, because now our son, you know, wants to see him now. So we're going to actually do that on that part also.
How old is his son?
He's 15.
Okay, so teenage son. Okay, great. Yeah. So things are hitting now. Do you feel like you're approaching it with, you know, our theme scripture is Philippians 4, and it says do not be anxious about anything.
Right.
You feel like you're patient and you're trusting God with the fact that this is a process, and, you know, of course you want to be back together as a family, but not skipping any steps so that God can truly work on him the way he needs to.
Yes, and I'm actually getting counseling with my pastor, and I told him, you know, it's a lot of things that I want to see, and he said, well, just wait and let God work on him, because the minister where he's at, he's at Bethel Deliverance Church in Philadelphia, in North Philly, and I like the pastor, and he said the reason why the family or the house is lopsided, because you're the head of household, and you're not following God, so it's kind of lopsided.
Yes.
But he's upstanding and holding your wife and giving her strength to carry on. You have to get it together.
Okay. Well, it sounds good. It sounds like You guys have set up to win. You've surrounded yourself with good people, spiritual people. Now it's a matter of being obedient to God and really listening to those that he put around you, and of course listening to his word. I think probably the most encouraging part is you sound very calm and resolved that, you know, this is going to work in God's timing instead of being anxious.
Right. And it was good because he's able to see. He's kind of going back to when I first met him, but I'm still praying that it's more calmer. And our son is, like, really, really very happy that he's able to even talk to him and have, you know, a good conversation with his son. And we're just praying, and everything is slowly but surely. But I'm saying I'm being prayerful, and I'm just taking it day by day. Well, actually, hour by hour, like I told my pastor.
Hour by hour. I like
I said,
that.
I can't do day by day. It's too long. I gotta do hour by hour.
But, you know, I just want to share a passage. It's a pretty strong verse, but it's really important, I think, for you to think about this. Proverbs 12:15 says, "The way of a fool seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice." And basically, the scripture is real clear that, you know what, some things might seem right to us, but we just can't trust ourselves with certain matters. So we listen to advice. And again, I think you've surrounded yourself with some great people. He has as well. And I pray that you really do listen to that advice, as difficult as it might be. You know, maybe in your heart, you're like, all right, I'm ready for him to move back in. But the advice is like, not yet.
And you know what? I'm not even to that point of ready for him to move in. Mm-hmm. I was very strong will on that part. And
okay.
I said, well, Lord, help me stay strong. And we did some major changings. We moved to one area to another place, and we're doing really, really well. And God has just been blessing us on that note. But I just ask every day, I said, Lord, just show me and give me the strength and carry on.
That's awesome.
And all my pastor said, that's all you want is to read, pray, and let God take care of everything else. And he does it better than we do.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you. We really do appreciate your call.
And then I told you I was going to call you back when I get a good update.
Yes, that's a good update. And, you know, the next one needs to be, you know, when he finally does move back. Again, you're being patient. I pray that he will as well, that he recovers from his addiction, that he totally repents, and that you as a family can really reconcile. And Trina, we thank you for your call this morning.
Thank you. And y'all have a pleasant day.
All right, Trina. Have a blessed day.
Bye-bye.
All right. Take care. Up next, we have John calling in from New Jersey. John, good morning.
Okay.
Good morning.
Good, John. So I believe you mentioned to our producer that you are single and you're actually considering a relationship. Is that correct?
Yes. I've been praying for a relationship for quite some time now. I'm a gentleman who used to be in the world.
Okay.
And I used to have a lot of women. That's how my father had brought me up. And my relationship with God is like he's my best friend now.
Okay.
So it's not the same. Like, I had a lot of women. Now I have none. And I just want one. And, you know, I've been waiting, and I know that you can't tell God what to do, when to do it. But I met somebody about 6 months ago, and she let me go after 30 days. She told me,
wow,
I need to be with somebody who has more time. Recently, she's got back in touch with me for about a month, maybe a month and a half. We've been talking, texting. We sit down, have coffee, eat some toast. And but she told me, you know, I asked her 2 weeks ago, I said, hey, what do you want from me? Because you let me go, now you're calling me back.
Sure.
And she said, I really like you. I'm attracted to you. I like the godly man that you are. She's a Christian as well. But she said she's not really looking for a relationship. She wants to be closer to God.
Okay.
But she's giving me these signals. You know, like I kissed her last night. No touchy-feely. We just kissed for a couple seconds, and you know, I went on about my business. And then she told me as I was walking out the door that friends don't kiss. So I'm like, well, you know, are we trying to do something here? And she didn't answer me. But we're supposed to have a date today on the beach. I'm taking a walk on the beach later on this evening. And just talk. I told her I didn't want to, you know, don't want to talk about bills or work. But I don't know if I'm wasting my time because God knows I really desire a friend to become a wife because, you know, I've been there and the love that I've been taught from God, from my pastor, is totally different inside of me. So I have this different love that I'm ready to give someone.
Okay. Well, John, thank you. Thank you so much for calling. I think this is excellent. Great conversation that we can have here on the air. I think a few things. John, you strike me as not an old man, but, you know, mature enough. Like you've said, you've dated for a while. You're in the world. You've really, you know, given your life to God. You've turned your life around. But you're also mature, correct? Like
yes.
Okay, so.
Yes.
So something we were saying earlier, and Tiffany and we had a brief discussion in the beginning of our show, where things are very different when you're in your 40s than when you're in your 20s, especially
right.
when it comes to dating. And I think one of the greatest difference, especially if you're a Christian, is the upfrontness you can have with communication. I mean, you're mature, so you don't have to, you know, there's really no time or need for games, right? And I'm not saying that you're just, you know, say, hey, let's just get married. But at the same time,
right.
saying, listen, this is I'm I've turned my life around. I'm looking for a godly woman. Are you the one? Vice versa. Are you the godly man that, that she's searching for? Right. But it sounds like something is wrong with her communication because she's saying one thing, but her actions are showing something else.
Exactly.
And that's concerning. And I tell you something, if that's how it is now, when you have a relationship with someone, their immaturity, their struggles, their issues are only going to get magnified. So I think the important part before you start just dating and having these romantic times, walks on the beach, all that, you just have to have a real honest conversation saying, listen, it's obvious. I'm looking for a relationship. I thought you did too. You walked away. Now you're coming back. You're saying you just want to be friends. I'm not getting clear signals. Listen, number one, if God is number one in your life, then you want to have a certain standard as well. You want to have a pure relationship, meaning that, you know, you can't have mixed signals. Some, you know, couples, and this concerns me, couples that I hear are going around the way you're going, they're saying, oh, we're Christians, we want to do this God's way, and before they know it, they're sleeping together because their words and their life don't match.
Okay.
And that comes from immaturity and lack of being spiritual. So I think, John, number one, you need to really ask God to make it clear, is this the woman that you can trust? Because she needs to be able to be up front. Say, listen, maybe she's afraid. Maybe she's, you know, trying to proceed with caution. I don't know. But if that's the case, then she needs to be able to tell you, saying, listen, I do like you and I want a relationship. I'm really scared. Okay, well, you know what? We can be scared about this together. The fear of God is good. Let's be, if we're going to be scared about something, let's be scared to do this right. And let's get help. Let's get input. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And I'll be real quick. I'm supposed to be at this walk-a-thon. But I think she is scared because she's never met a guy like me. She's been married, I think, once and had boyfriends. And, you know, I tell her she's beautiful every other day. I just call her and make her laugh. And, you know, if I can get something for her, I tell her, you know, you need toilet tissue, toothpaste, I'll get it for you. And I told her last night, I think you're scared because I talked to you in a manner that no one has ever talked to you before. And we have a lot of discussions about God, spirituality, and love. But like I said, I'm these signals, and what you just said, I'm going to do because I want to know. I don't want to waste my time. I mean, if she's going to go through her life saying, I don't know, I don't want to waste my time.
And that's what you want to be. The one thing I can tell you, when I met my wife, it was very clear. You know, I was still in my 20s, but we had a certain maturity about us. And I think it comes from our relationship with God where we didn't even have to tell each other, oh, I like you. I mean, it was obvious. We weren't wasting time. And we had some honest conversation about, okay, this relationship. Like, I'll give you an example. My wife was very clear. She didn't want to just have a boyfriend if it wasn't going to lead to something. Like, she's like, I'm not looking for a boyfriend. I'm praying for God to send me the right man in my life that this is my last boyfriend. You know, you would be it if we end up together. This is before we started dating. So I knew, oh, this is not just a girl that I'm just going to have as a girlfriend for a while. And this is, no, if I'm going to date, my wife's name is Amaryllis. If I'm going to date Amaryllis, then I better be serious. Now, still, we gave it time and God to allow us to show us, okay, if this is what was his will. I'm not saying that we, you know, we made a commitment when we dated that we would get married, but we weren't playing games. We understood, like, we there was an understanding that the intention was to go further, to go in towards marriage. And so that's the same. And Vince, the only thing I would caution you is that you still give room for God. I mean, John, that you give room for God because God might be showing you something through this. You know, so I think today it's a good day. Look, if you do the walk on the beach thing, I mean, go for it. Sit down on a bench at the beach, open up the word and say, listen, let's what the Bible says, let your yes be yes, let your no be no. Let's just be real clear. Anything else the Bible says comes from the evil one. Let's just be real clear. And if we're going to be dating, then great. We can date like Christians. We'll get input. We'll do this the right way. But if we're not, then let's not, because we're wasting time.
Okay.
All right. John, thank you. Let us know how things go.
Oh, yeah, I'm definitely, I'll listen to you when I can, And I was so blessed to be able to get through. I was sitting here like a little kid in a car.
Amen.
So, you know, I'm definitely going to call back and let you know how today went. But you're only on the air every Saturday morning, right?
Saturday mornings, absolutely. But you could always go to Facebook.com, look for Marriage Beyond the Vows, or you can go to PraiseFilly.com and look for me, Marcos Mercado, and send me a message as well.
Okay.
All right, and let us know. Look, we hope it works out, but if it doesn't, we might have someone you can go on a date with here, Tiffany Bacon. All right.
All right. Listen, thank you. You two have a blessed weekend.
All
you
right,
too.
Thanks. You too.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You.
All right. Bye-bye.
Let's go to Vince calling in on line 5. Vince, good morning. Live on the air.
Hey, good morning, Tiffany.
Hey.
Marcus?
Yes, you got it. Here you go, Vince.
Great. And can't forget Larry.
There you go.
That's right.
Larry, he's become your buddy, I heard.
Yes. Well, my comment is on, you were talking about dating being difficult at 40. Try it in my love way, 50.
How old are you?
Yes, 50.
50. Okay, so you're dating at 50. Now, I take it, were you married previously?
Yes.
Okay, so now you're things are different. Do you have children?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Okay, so it's very different, right, at 50. Are you presently dating?
Well, no, now I think we're more exclusive.
Okay. So you're in a serious relationship, you're dating someone, but exclusively.
Yes. Very serious, very exclusive. I mean, and one of the things that had helped me a great deal in terms of dating was listening to your show. Not just the single people, but the married people who helped me to avoid a great deal of pitfalls. Of course, being 50, dating isn't what it used to be. It used to be, you know, just wine and dine.
Sure.
Now you wine them, dine them. Someone wants you to buy them drugs. You got to pay for the babysitter and get security to fight off their baby daddy.
Uh-oh. Well, you're right. It does get complicated.
Yes. And, you know, online dating is basically, as Chris Rock said, they put the representative, on a Facebook page.
That's
so
true.
It's
a challenge. You know, some people seem to have a very good result, and others have had, you know, horrific, you know, stories that they can tell, and they'll never go near it. So I think it depends on the individual. I tell you one thing, whether it's online or in person, you have to make sure that you allow God to work. And the best way that I know for God to work is to get good people around you that are going to be objective with their advice.
Yes, exactly. And the whole thing, I find a great deal of success in dating and me finding the one that I think I know is the right one,
mm-hmm.
is, like you said, spiritual discernment. I mean, you get into some and, you know, it's all about the ring, and then some are talking to you about their clock, and the others are talking to you about, you know, you've got enough finances to keep them in the standard of living that they could grow accustomed to.
Sure.
And it's like, okay, this is not my first time around the block, and I want this to be right. I want this to be godly. I want to know that she loves the Lord, you know, because if she can love the Lord, then there's a strong chance that she can love me, truly.
You know, something I must say, Vincent, and I got to be honest, I don't envy you. You know, I have some great friends that are single, and many of them are really looking to get married. And I'm just so grateful that I have someone that is the right one, that I don't have to be searching. I mean, that's just a blessing. And the Bible does say he who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord. So I think part of that is finding, you know, but you don't find unless you seek. Right. And so and the Bible really, in a lot of ways, it calls for the man to be the seeker, the woman to be the one to prepare herself so when that man comes around. I mean, call us old-fashioned, but I believe that's more of what the scriptures say. And you know, there are great examples like Ruth in the scriptures who prepared themselves really well, and God had a plan. And I think for where you are now, I think, Vince, it's important to say, okay, if she really is the one, what I would challenge you to do is pray the scary prayer. And this was the scary prayer that my wife and I would pray, even up to the point where we got to the altar, was, God, make it clear, if this is not the person for me, make it clear so we do not get married, because we didn't want to make a decision or get married if we didn't feel like we totally had God's blessing.
Right.
And
right.
It was scary because at that point our hearts were already in, like we wanted to get married. So to even consider the possibility that maybe God didn't want us together, it was scary, you know. But I tell you, that surrender spirit made it where we know there's no back door. We're convinced. God absolutely made it clear. We got a ton of input. We prayed a lot. I mean, it was just clear. However, while we prayed that, we did postpone our wedding. And that was a challenge because we felt like maybe we were rushing. You know, I had met her and we became really good friends. And then after knowing her for a few months, we started dating. And after dating for 3 months, we got engaged. And so it was like, man, we were going for it. And then while we got engaged, you know, and working together, we were young in the ministry together. The advice was like, listen, if you're going to spend the rest of your life together, take some time to get to know each other and don't rush to the wedding, which was like 6 months after that. So we ended up waiting a year. And and that, I tell you, that those like extra 7 months we waited seemed like an eternity back then. But today, I tell you, it's nothing. And I'm so grateful that we waited this long. And you know, just in a couple of months, we'll be celebrating 16 years.
Right. Congratulations.
Thank you, Vince. So I want to encourage you, pray that prayer. I mean, maybe you have, maybe you haven't, but if you start praying that, it's, and I mean, when you pray it, really mean it, not like, God, please, but no, this is what I want. It's just saying, God knows what you want. God knows the desires of your heart, but also desiring, you know, what Jesus said, not my will, but your will.
Right, right. Well, with us, it's been years of being together and interacting and our families getting to know each other. So, yeah, the scary prayer at this point to me doesn't seem all that scary.
Okay.
I mean, but it is a great thing to actually let God make the decision and not just our desires to just want to be married or to just find, you know, that someone to be, you know, with you. And I think that you're absolutely right with that.
And you know what really it goes down to, Vince, is surrender. Because you're not married, and I know this sounds ultra simplistic, but you're not married until you actually are married, until you make those vows. So you know, a lot of times people feel like, all right, well, we're in this relationship. We've invested a lot of time, energy, money. We send out even invitations, whatever. You know, people, you know, emotionally start feeling like, wait a minute. And look, Vince, you listen to the show. There are a lot of couples who would confess that there were red flags, there were signs that God was making it really clear that they probably shouldn't have married this person, but they didn't listen, and now they have much, much regret.
Yes, yes. And, you know, not only that, but, you know, if you look at it in terms of the longevity of dating and being an exclusive relationship, is that there are some social pressures involved. There are people going, well, when are you two getting married? I mean,
exactly.
When are you going to make an honest woman out of her? Brother Vince, we're talking about you and this girl.
Yeah, you do get do get that as well. But you know what the best answer is? And I'll leave
What's
you with
that?
This, Vince. We got to take it. The best answer is pray for us. Pray for us. Because, you know, that I mean, what can someone say? Just pray for us. We're working on it. Pray for us. All right. Well, Vince, we thank you so much. We really appreciate you listening and picking up the phone and calling us this morning.
Oh, always. You know, I love the show, especially because you got bacon in it.
Uh-oh, there you go. Well, listen, man, if you're going in one direction, you can't be trying to pursue bacon, all right?
No.
All right, man. Well, we appreciate it, Vince. You have a blessed day.
All right, take care.
God bless you both.
All right.
Thank you.
So we want you to stay right there, but we invite you to be a part of the conversation. If you have any questions about your relationship, give us a call, 855-454-5905. We'll also check in and see what people are talking about on our second favorite book, Facebook. All When Marriage Beyond the Vows returns after this.